Hi, everyone. I wanted to do an episode 8, this one called Overwhelmed, because I realized that a lot of the episodes that I've done so far have been primarily focused around people who might be cyberbullied or depressed because of school. Adolescence, the way the body's changing. One of the things that I realized that I haven't talked about is people who are overwhelmed in general. Adulthood, while it is fantastic in its own right, just like every single aspect of your life can be, it's also very difficult. And as an adult, it can even be difficult to try and get a grasp on everything. If you find that you're one of those people, that's kind of what I'd like to focus on in this. I've had many jobs and careers throughout my life where I was extremely overwhelmed with work and the requirements, and that also bundles with things that are happening at home, both of which you can't really change. You can be vocal about them. You can talk about it with your loved ones to see if there are certain things that can change maybe at home or in your life. Work is a little more difficult because typically your job is your job. So you can't really go into work and necessarily complain about what you're going through at job. Now, of course, hopefully your managers are certainly open to understanding where you are, where you're coming from, and how you're feeling about work and if you're overwhelmed. And hopefully one of your jobs or your jobs is like one of those places. But it's interesting that there are so many careers and so many jobs out there that are stressful that may or may not pay a lot of money. And it really depends on what it is. And I'm going to kind of talk, I don't know, generally about it. And kind of give some examples, but they're just so you know, for those of you who are depressed or overwhelmed, or suicidal just because of what is going on at work and being overwhelmed, and it seems like there's never a light at the end of the tunnel. Again, that's not, it's obviously not a healthy place to be in, but it's also not a good reason to want to end your life, because again, it's a shame that you're in that place. And you might be in a scenario where you've got the capability to possibly find another job that would be more satisfying, or you might be someone who can't. And I think, so let's maybe talk about for those who can't make changes in their career. Or if they did go and work somewhere else, it would pretty much be the same type of work with the same type of demands. Sales positions tend to be a lot like that, but anyone can be for that matter. So while obviously if you can't really change what you're doing, maybe you can do certain things in your life that give you that self-release. I don't think abuse or self-mutilation or drugs are the answer to that. And there are certainly, clearly there are states that they allow recreational marijuana. And if that's something that you find is healthy for you and doesn't lead to other things that can be more detrimental to your health and the rest of your life, then that's probably something that you can do. And let's say that you are one of those persons that do have that as a recreational pleasure or release at the end of the day or the week or the month or what have you, yet you still find that you are depressed and things don't really change, then maybe that's not the answer, or maybe it's part of the equation. In either case, if it's really important to try to find something that ground you or something that you really like. One of the things that I talked about in a previous episode was being able to find something that really moves you and on an emotional level, right? For me, it's certain movies or certain music, certain types of music. And just by listening, it allows me to have a release of stress. And for a lot of people, they might not know what that is. And I think that there, you know, there's obviously not one answer for everybody. For some people, it's music, movies. Some people, it's, you know, again, writing and painting. For other people, it might be exercise. Exercise, of course, is something that's very healthy and good for everybody, because it allows you to kind of focus on something pretty intensely, whether it be lifting weights or cardio or just running or riding a bike. You're typically thinking about, you know, how many reps you're doing and you're counting, or if you're riding a bike, you're thinking about where you're going and how far you've come along and things like that. It really kind of takes you out of what your daily life might be. And not only that, it helps release endorphins, get blood flowing and things like that. But let's say that you can't do that, or you don't even have the time for that. I will tell you, at least for me, that trying to sit somewhere in a quiet place for even just 5 minutes can be pretty life-changing. And I know 5 minutes, you know, doesn't sound like a lot. You might think, well, you know, that can really happen in 5 minutes, but you would actually be surprised. I have, because of the events that have happened in my life, I do have a little bit of anxiety. And one of the things that I started to do was, again, sit for alone for 5 minutes. And what I realized is that because I was so worked up and anxious about the things that were going on in my life, it was really hard for me in the beginning to sit somewhere for 5 minutes. I always wanted to pick up my phone and check my email, or, you know, go and do research about my work and things like that. There wasn't really, you know, it was really difficult for me to sit down just for 5 minutes to be able to enjoy 5 minutes of silence. But as I started to do this over and over, it became surreal in a way, because it really kind of, first off, it gave me a chance and something to look forward to in the day. Even though it's just 5 minutes, 5 minutes can be, again, a really big thing. And for me, at least, it was, because I knew that at a certain time during the day or throughout the day that I would at least have 5 minutes of complete silence and to allow myself to kind of unwind and relax. And if you are, you know, if you're overwhelmed with work and family and things like that, just having 5 minutes of silence can be very, very relaxing. And like I said, even though in the beginning it might not, that might not be something that you can do, the more that you do it and practice it, it can help. So that at least worked for me. Another thing that I actually found was interesting is that, let's say that you don't have 5 minutes and, you know, you're in a bad place, whether it be because of work or something that someone has said. What you can do is there's something called, the 5-5-5 breathing exercise. So what you would do is breathe in as much as you can and exhale everything, and then breathe in through your nose for 5 seconds, hold it for 5 seconds, and exhale through your nose for 5 seconds. And you can do this 3 times or as many times as you feel that you may need. But what's interesting is that you actually have a nerve in your chest around your diaphragm. And as you breathe in and out and hold it, it actually rubs this particular nerve. And you have to forgive me, I can't remember what the nerve is called because it's been a while since I've read this. But this nerve is actually one of the nerves in your body that help you relax. So if you do find that you're sitting down for the first time for those 5 minutes to try to just get complete silence and you just can't, or if you find yourself in a situation where you're just extremely anxious, you might be on the verge or currently having a panic attack, just being able to, you know, again, breathe in everything you can, exhale everything you can, breathe in for 5 seconds, hold it for 5 seconds, and breathe out for 5 seconds, and do that at least 3 times. And you'll just find that, at least for me, because again, I can't speak for everyone, but it oddly enough, it really calmed me down. And that was one of the things that I started to do in the beginning of just trying to sit still for 5 minutes. And I know, for, you know, a lot of people might think, okay, well, for me, it's about sitting down and playing a video game. I don't think, or a game on your iPad or your iPhone or your Android device or tablet or what have you, that's not really a way for you to escape what's going on, because it's just another form of something to either A, give you anxiety because you might be trying to beat your highest score or get to a certain level or whatever it might be. That is actually giving you anxiety. The other thing is that if you don't meet your goal, then you might get frustrated and mad, and that can just, you know, that doesn't help things at all. So I think trying to, you know, sit somewhere for 5 minutes, and if it's not silence at the, in the beginning, then maybe listen to some music. Don't listen to anything fast. Again, because we're trying to at least get yourself to kind of calm down a little bit. In any case, that's at least something that has been able to work for me, whenever I feel overwhelmed. So that's kind of the, maybe the first part of this. Another part that I want to go on to is still about anxiety, depression, suicide, and things like that, because of the pressure that is given to you from others and even yourself. I mean, if you think and think about, I don't know, your favorite actor or your favorite actress or your favorite musician who took their own life. Like, for example, let's say Kurt Cobain from Nirvana. You know, you take a look. This was somebody who was at the top of their game or their career and their peak. And because of the amount of stress that was being given to him from the record label and then indirectly from fans, it's a shame that, you know, he spent so much of his time and sacrificed so much to be able to, you know, put his name and his band on the map in the music industry to all of a sudden take his life. That's a terrible thing. And, you know, if you're someone who feels like you're being overwhelmed by people or your work and things like that, I, there's not really a direct answer because everybody's situation is going to be different. But what I can tell you is that fear of failure tends to drive a lot of people in a bad place. You know, it can drive them certainly in a good way to motivate themselves, but at some point in time, it generally turns out and can be a negative aspect in their life. And I think understanding your expectations of other people and on you that you give to yourself is very important. I can't fathom what Kurt Cobain or anybody in that type of position is going through, because obviously they've got inner turmoil with themselves of trying to, you know, make the next best album with the next best songs and the best music. And then you've got, you know, wanting to make sure that all of your fans are going to be happy about it and the record label that you're working with and things like that. There are expectations. But, you know, okay, so what's the worst that can happen? Let's say that your next album does flop, or whatever it might be. I'm just using this as an example. But whatever the next album might flop, and it's not as popular as it was, and you know your band starts to fall apart, and your band breaks up, and you're musical career is over. At least it might seem like it at that point in time, but that doesn't that doesn't mean that that's a reason for you to take your life. I mean, so what if the next greatest thing doesn't come out of you? That's okay. I think what's odd is that people tend to think that they need to do better than what they did before, and better than the person who's next to them. And I think a lot of that really comes down from social media and publicity and being in the public and, you know, having their persona and things like that. But for a person, that can be a very hard thing to try to live by. And it's a shame that you're in that particular situation. And it's a shame that you happen to be going through those things. But you also have to look at the big picture. I mean, I again, not that I haven't been a musician, nor have I ever had anything like that happen, but you know, there have been really important things in my life that I thought were the most important things. And I strived and did everything that I could. And I just realized when I got to a point that my own happiness is something that I needed to put before everything else. And of course, if you've got a family and things like that, you want them to be able to help you put yourself first. It doesn't come down to you just putting yourself first and having everybody else deal with it. But I think that there needs to be some sort of open dialogue, or at least a letter or a note or something that indicates to other people that, you know, you're trying to find the better part of yourself, and that's something that you need to focus on. And I can't fathom. I just can't imagine how difficult that would be. For this particular example of being Kurt Cobain, because I can't imagine the stress. But you know that in this example, and it would apply to pretty much anything. It doesn't mean that your career is over. It doesn't mean that you can't be popular again. It doesn't mean that you know you can't be sought after and looked up to by the public. Now, why you want that is a whole other story that you need to figure out on your own. But if you're in that position, that's what you drive yourself off of, then I think you need to look at why and just know that life is an ever-changing, evolving mechanism. Today, the album might not be that great, but you might join a new band or start a new band that becomes more popular, or you know what have you. It's all about taking advantage of what you can. And when you're in a dark place and when you're depressed and when you're sad and beat down, it's really hard to look at anything else being positive, because whenever somebody reaches success, they think that that's the pinnacle of their life and of their and what their success is going to be. And if they lose that, then they lose themselves. And that's not the way you should think about life. While it does seem important, and while it does seem the peak pinnacle of your existence, you were somebody before then, and you're going to be somebody after then. So I think that's something that you should think about. Because in the end, it doesn't matter what other people think. Like I said in my other episode, it's not genuine. You know, it's tough, but again, life is ever changing. Things do move on. And while things are overwhelming, and they might be overwhelming for years, different parts of my career were extremely overwhelming and stressful, and it was very hard to deal with. A lot of people in my life suffered, not only me, and that even made my depression and anxiety worse, because now not only did I have to worry about work, I also had to worry about the other people I was affecting, and that gave me anxiety, and it also gave me anger. But I also didn't let these other people in my life know what I was going through. And once I did, they understood, and they wanted to help me, or at least understand where I was coming from whenever I would lash out or become depressed or become silent and not talk. It's I think it's important at least to let someone know what is going on. Because otherwise you just end up beating up yourself from two different angles. Become anxious on, again, your performance at work or whatever it might be. And then you also have the anxiety of you, how you're affecting other people. And you know, then you just have a heavier weight on yourself, because now you've got two things to worry about instead of just one. But the most important thing is to think about you and to care about you and find out what makes you happy. I had a friend of mine who has worked ever since they could get a worker's permit, and they're now in their mid-30s, But a couple of years back, we were having a conversation, and I said, because they were talking about, you know, where I was and my job and some of the things, fun things that I got to do. And I said, well, what are some of the fun things that you like to do? Like, do you have a hobby or anything? And they said, no, I haven't had time to think of a hobby. I said, well, what is there anything that makes you happy? And they said, well, you know, there's this certain things in life that on a daily basis that make me happy, but nothing that really truly makes me happy. And I thought that that was sad because, yes, while life is demanding, while our jobs and careers are demanding, and even other people and family are demanding, it's still important to think about yourself, because by thinking about yourself, you end up kind of understanding the bigger picture of everything in your life. And if you are the type of person who puts yourself second or third or fourth or fifth, then you don't really have a close connection with your life. And then depression can really set in, and that even separates you even further. And then it becomes possible suicidal thoughts. And then that just, you know, it's not really being in tune with yourself kind of makes all of that difficult on bringing it all together. And this is a scenario, this is at least a case where I think being selfish is important, especially for somebody who has gone through life or at least experienced certain parts of your life that have been depressed, or you've had people who've picked on you and you've been a victim. It's easy to put yourself second, third, or fourth, or fifth, because you've constantly been told, you know, you're worthless, or they don't like the way you look, or the clothes you drive, or the cars you drive, the clothes you wear. And so you end up putting yourself second because you want to put people first so that they don't have the capability of saying anything bad about you. But that's so bass ackwards, because what ends up happening is you've put yourself second, third, and you don't appreciate, and you don't, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word that I'm thinking of right now, or I can't say the word, but you don't put a high price on your life, value. That's the word I'm looking for. You don't put a high value on your life because you're putting everybody else second or third, or you're, at least you're putting yourself second or third and fourth and so on and so on. So I think that's very important. I say that I feel like 100 times, but it is. It's very important to be able to put yourself first and let yourself understand what you're going through so that you can work with other people, because, you know, it becomes a cyclical negative process. You know, if you've got yourself at second or third or fourth or fifth on your list, or even worse, then, you know, when you become really overwhelmed with your career, you become really career driven. Not that that's a bad thing, as long as it's done for the right reasons for yourself. But let's say that you've gone through adolescence and middle school and things like that, and you got picked on, and you've become depressed, and you've begun and learned to put yourself not first on your list, and then you really devote your time and energy into work. And then let's say that something doesn't go right at work. Well, if you were content and happy with yourself, and you knew what made you happy, and you really understood your feelings and emotions, well then, you know, just by working at something hard at work, if it doesn't turn out the way it's supposed to, you can kind of let that just go, because you know that next time you'll do better. But for a lot of people who suffer depression and anxiety and don't put themselves first and don't understand, you know, really who they are and what they feel, well, then when something goes wrong at work and you devoted all your time, then you become even more depressed and you take it very personally. And there's a big difference between criticism and constructive criticism. To a lot of people who don't understand themselves and their emotions and being able to internalize what people say to them, can't really understand the difference. And while in some cases they might seem very close and similar, there is a difference. Criticism is what somebody says to somebody else to make that person feel bad. And in no way is it helpful. Constructive criticism is somebody telling you that you've done something wrong or could have done better or could have done it better. But if you think about these two different scenarios in which they are presented here, again, one, somebody telling you that there's something wrong with you or you've done something wrong, versus somebody telling you you've done something wrong but could be better and here's why. To somebody who's depressed and don't put themselves first and are always, worried about what people are thinking, because inherently that's what happens is when you're picked on as an adolescent or a young adult or even younger, you take everything personally and internally. And so those two statements, while they are different, might be received the same. So then what happens in your job or your work or your love environment? You know, if you can't differentiate between the two, and you can't understand criticism versus constructive criticism, somebody who's constructively criticizing you is trying to help you, yet it might put you in a bad place, and that's not where we want to be. Overwhelmed is hard in life, and it happens very often. Very, very often, whether it be overwhelmed because you can't make your car payment, overwhelmed because you can't make your house payment or your apartment rent or whatever it might be. Life is certainly overwhelming, and there are so many aspects in life that can be overwhelming, but really understanding where you are and being able to control your feelings can really help with depression and loneliness and all the negative things that can kind of come at you. So to circle back around, it's really about putting yourself first. Take those 5 minutes in your day to listen to your favorite song or just to relax. I really recommend not listening to anything, but listen to yourself breathing. Listen to the sounds around you, because it allows you to kind of experience you separate from every other external thing that could have an impact on your life. And you might even be uncomfortable at first because you've maybe been uncomfortable in your skin for so long that that's just how things are. But really putting yourself first and giving yourself those 5 minutes can do a couple of things. One, it's given you possibly a time to kind of just relax and calm and maybe blow off and release some of the anxiety or depression that you're going through. It also gives you something to look forward to in your day, but it also gives you time, and over time, you'll realize that you enjoy putting yourself first. Even if it is for 5 minutes, you've at least put yourself first and 5 minutes out of your day that you hadn't normally done. And I think that could be very helpful. So one other thing, we're a little over 28 minutes. There are a lot of things in life that can put you in a bad place or make you depressed or lonely or antisocial. But a lot of it stems through what we've experienced at a younger age. And that's why in a lot of these that I've talked about, I've kind of focused on people who are going through middle school or even elementary school and high school and changing even into college, because understanding your emotions and really getting a grasp on really how your life is and how it's going to play out and how the world is can drastically affect the way that you are as an adult. And I would really hate for anyone to miss out on opportunities and experiences in life. Whether you're in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, all the way if you're living to 100, I would hate for anybody to miss out on that. And it's easy to get wrapped up in a day-to-day activity or schedule or pattern. And it's important to kind of disrupt that pattern to put yourself first. At least put yourself in there. If you can't put yourself first for your, throughout the entire day, at least put yourself first for those 5 minutes. that's very important. Because like I said, it just makes me sad to think that people can't experience what they should in life. And of course, who am I to say what experiences you should have in life? It's, you know, I'm not, but I'm from my perspective, I'm at least letting you know that being able to understand your feelings and who you are and where you fit in this world, for you, it's number one. And of course, when you have a family, wife and kids and things like that, or your love partner and who else you might be married to and the other people who are directly in your life, of course, you're going to put, you know, them first in certain scenarios. And hopefully the both of you, if not your whole family, immediate family, work together to act as, you know, one solid entity. It's still, even those situations, very important to give yourself those 5 minutes or to at least put yourself first. I think I've mentioned before, but we're already at 31 minutes, but I'm a huge fan of Disney. And I think if I even said, I'll talk about that later. So one day I'll actually get to there, but I think it's interesting. I think, and this is one of the reasons why I like Disney, either Disney World or Disneyland. That's one of the only places, at least that I've been to, and I've traveled quite a bit, but it's one of the only places that I see that the people around you, now, of course, other families and tend to have to be anxious in some cases and frustrated with their children and what have you, or frustrated with crowds or the heat or whatever it might be. But you're in a place where the goal of the people who are paid to be there and around you for the experience genuinely want you to be happy. And that's so bizarre. I think it's fantastic. I think it's amazing. I think what Walt Disney wanted people to experience in life by going to their movies or they're seeing their cartoons or the stories or the music or, of course, going out to one of their theme parks. It's just, to me, amazing that the philosophy is making others happy. And I just want everybody to have that type of feeling. And I know it's impossible, but the reason I do this is because I at least hope one person can get something out of this and maybe make a change in their life and know that they are supported. While they might be around people who they don't feel they support you, then maybe trying to find people who do. That can really make a big difference in your life. But to sum this up, I wanted to call this overwhelmed because regardless of how old you are or young you are, life can be overwhelming. And there's a ton of situations in which life is overwhelming on a day-to-day basis. Just driving in your car is overwhelming to not get into an accident or get a speeding ticket or to, you know, not have a flat tire or run out of gas. But being able to kind of understand and know you and know what makes you calm and happy and put yourself first, because while I love life, it is magnificent. There are days that are still, you know, stressful and overwhelming because that's life. But I hope that your days can become to get better and bigger. And just remember, life is cyclical. What you're experiencing now is not going to be the same thing you experience in 5 years. And you don't know what happens in 5 years or in 5 minutes. But it's important that you're there. And it's important that you want to be there and are happy to be there in life. And that's just what I want for everyone. So I appreciate you listening to this. We're at 34 minutes, so I'll stop. But like I said, I'll do these every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Today's actually Sunday, but I wanted to reach out and talk to you. So I appreciate you listening. I hope this helped, and please reach out to me if there's anything you need or want to talk about. So until next time, take care of yourself. Bye.